It's interesting. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Acts in the Bible, but this book, it's one of those books that really makes you question things, because you read the stories on these pages and you hear about the people that do them and the way God did things, and it's... You know, it makes you question, like, man, am I even saved? If this is what saved people do, if this is what Christian people, then what the heck's wrong with me? Because I'm not doing that stuff yet. And the book of Acts is a book that calls us to a higher place. It calls us to a place where we can do more, where we can become a person that changes people's lives. It's the book of, well, the Acts of the Apostles. It's a book where Christians do things. And they do things because the Holy Spirit lives in them and through them. Pastor Richard, I don't really know exactly what you're talking about here. Well, let me ask you this question. Who here thinks that in their school, even if you're homeschooled, you can answer this question. Who thinks in their school something's got to change? Who thinks your school's jacked up? Who thinks your teachers are jacked up? Who thinks you got jacked up weird people at your school? All right, who is a weird, jacked up person at your school? All right, let's be real here. All right, now let me ask you this: What do you think the main reason people go to school for is? No, wait. Let me rephrase it. Not why are people supposed to go to school? Because we all know that answer. What do you think the reason most people go to school for is? Wait. When you all say the same thing at the same time, what? To see your homies. You got homies too. All right. To socialize. Free food. Amen. Amen. In the back. You, sir, in the back. To find themselves as a person. Does anybody go to school to find themselves as a person? Angel, you do. And that's tight. That's tight. Okay. Thank you. What? Sports? Oh, who goes to school for sports? That's why you're there. Who is there for the cheerleaders? That's okay. Some of y'all be, thank you. Okay, whatever. It's kind of scary now. I assume most of you guys go, you think it's somewhat important to learn, correct? Okay, somewhat important. But now who do you think, who goes to school because they absolutely have to? Because you absolutely have to. That's why you go to school, okay? Where some of us are being real. Like, if you had your choice, you wouldn't go to school. Yes. A lot of groans and yes is okay. Now, do you think there are people that go to school just to cause trouble? Really? You think there are people that just go, they think, I'm here anyway, I'm just to cause trouble. Like especially when you have a substitute teacher, right? Yeah, substitute teacher, fair game, right there. I have a couple friends who are substitute teachers. They saw some of you guys at school. And they told me the stories. Okay. So we see that then. Okay, so we see that. So if that's the way it is, and we know the way it's supposed to be, then we got to do something to change that, right? I mean, I don't know if you feel responsible to change things, but I do. I mean, when I see something wrong, there's something inside of me that wants to change it. Look, easy. When you wake up in the morning and you see something wrong on your face, you know, you got tartar in your mouth, you have a small blemish up somewhere up in here. I mean, you want to fix that. You want to change that. Your hair's jacked up. And all of a sudden, you know that something's got to be done. You put the makeup on, you curl the hair, you wash the blemishes, you brush the teeth, you put on your fresh duds, and all of a sudden you leave that door to school once you fix yourself up. And we didn't have the same idea, the same attitude when we see things that are going wrong in our lives, in the world. You see, in Acts the 9th chapter, these disciples, these apostles are walking into town. And they see things wrong. They see hurt people. They see people hurting themselves. They see people who are sick. They see people who have no hope. They see people that are struggling. They see families that are being torn apart. And what do? But they step into the situation to change it. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody get bullied before. But I pray that something inside of you said that this is wrong and it needs to stop. I don't know if you've ever stepped up in line for somebody that's having a difficult day, but we need to be the people that come in and stop things when they go wrong. We need to stand up and speak when nobody else is speaking. You know, one of the things, if you read the Bible, that really angers God is when the people that have no voice don't have anybody speaking up for them. You know, that's something that angers God. I mean, it's not just when we do bad things. One of the worst things we can do is when we see people being hurt or oppressed, or we see people who are having their lives taken from them, and we, as Christians, don't do anything about it. When we stand to the side. See, in Acts, the 9th chapter, it says in verse 31, it says, the churches throughout the cities of Judea, Galilee, Samaria, they had peace, and they were edified. The churches were healthy. They were strong. Now, what did they do? They walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So what happened? The churches grew and were multiplied. Now, it came to pass a man named Peter went through these parts of the country, came down to meet the saints, the people who believed, in a town called Lydda. Found a certain man named Aeneas, and his name is with an A. And he had been bedridden 8 years. This man was paralyzed. Peter said to him, Aeneas, hey, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. And everybody who dwelt in Lydda and in the city of Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now, imagine a scene like that happening in school. You're just there, walking by the office, by the nurse's room, see some dude there, and you pray for him. Dude's life gets changed. He was sick, now he's better. Man, that'd be crazy. Now, it doesn't always happen, but it can happen. And if it can happen, then why wouldn't we be the people to try to do something about it? You know, when's the last time you prayed for somebody that needed prayer? When's the last time you saw somebody with a problem and we stepped out and we did something about it? When's the last time we saw a need and we tried to fill it? Because that's what God's trying to tell us here. You see, it says that the people had the Spirit of God on them, but it was not just enough for them to come to church and go home and go to bed, watch reruns of Pokemon and then get up and go to school the next day. It was not enough because there was something inside of them that was so big that when they got up and they went to town and they did life, they saw problems and they didn't just leave the Spirit of God at home. They didn't just leave the Spirit of God in their Bible. They didn't just leave the Spirit of God at church, but they took him wherever they went. So wherever you go, wherever Pastor Richard goes, wherever any of us go, we need to be the kind of people that we don't just leave God where we saw him last, but that everywhere we go, we become somebody that distributes the goodness of what God gave to us. I mean, wouldn't it be a terrible thing to go to Walmart?
Well, not just go to Walmart, but
it'd be a terrible thing to go to Walmart, load up your cart, pay for it, and then the old man that greets you at the door stop you and say, what are you doing? You can't take that out of here. But I paid for it. Yeah, I know. You got to leave it here. Put it in my fridge. No. You got to leave it here. But what are you talking? No, I got this so I could take it. I can't eat frozen chicken, man. I got to cook it. But still, no. You got to leave it. Yeah, you go to the store to take the stuff home so you could use it. You can wear it. You can eat it, for goodness sakes. You can put it all up in your hair and wash it down the drain. You come to church to get the stuff, to take it home, to put it all up in people's hair, to cook it, to serve it, to give it to somebody else. See, that's what happens. And that's what's supposed to happen. When's the last time you gave out Jesus at school? When's the last time you went home and gave Jesus to your mom? When's the last time, and I'm not talking like the little action figure where it's like winking and putting his thumb up at you. I'm talking about, when's the last time you gave somebody something that Jesus gave you? Because that's the purpose we go to the store. That's the purpose we go to church, is to get so we can give. See, when a person lives for God, they change the atmosphere around them because something inside of them has changed. Is different. See, when you go to school, you represent Jesus. So if that's the case, then what does God expect you to do at school? Like, what does God expect from you? What does God want from you? What are you supposed to be like at school then? Right? I think, real quick, one of the best things I think we could do is really have a broken heart. Pastor Richard, a broken heart? Yeah, a broken heart. Now, I'm not talking about a boyfriend or a girlfriend or the fact that, you know, like you're getting bad grades. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about having a heart of compassion. See, Jesus was a man with a broken heart. It wasn't because he was dating anybody, but it's because his heart cared and it felt for the people around him. See, so many times, either because we're hurt, we shut our heart off to people, right? I don't know if you've ever said that. I don't know if you've ever said that, you know, forget this. Loving people is so hard because all I do is when I trust somebody, they break my trust. Or I don't know if you've ever said something like, well, you know what? I loved him and all he did was use me. I'm never going to love another person. I'm going to use people now. I'm going to look out for me, number one. And we do stuff like that. We say things like that because we're hurt. We don't ever want to hurt again. So we shut our hearts off. Right? 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 Am I the only one? Okay. We say things like that. And it's a danger, because as soon as we do that, we shut ourselves off from the things that God wants to do for us. You see, one of the best ways to change people's lives, one of the best ways to change a situation, look, if you don't like the way things are going at home, then you need this. If you don't like the way things are going at school, you need this. If you want to change your teacher, the one that gives you bad grades just because they don't like you, because it's out there, then you need this. And it's the exact opposite of what people think. People think revenge. People think, you know, I got to be smarter than them. I got to show them. I'm going to prove them wrong. No. Prove them you care. Prove to them you care. As soon as you prove to somebody that you care, then it changes the situation around you. If you can have this one C word, compassion, in your life, then you begin to change your life and the people's lives around you. Why? Because all of a sudden people begin to see that you're different than the way the world operates. The world operates dog eat dog. The world operates number one. The world operates, I'm going to do me. That's the way the world operates. I'm going to do me and you do you. No. You got to do Jesus so you could do what he wants you to do. And when you do that, then you begin to see that other people begin to act like Jesus too. You have to do the exact opposite of what makes logical sense. Check this out. I'm going to throw a bunch of verses at you. In Matthew 14:14, it says, Jesus saw the multitude, had compassion, and he went out and healed them. It says in Matthew 15:32, it said that Jesus had compassion on the multitude. And what did he do? He fed them. But there was too many, so a miracle happened. And a couple loaves and a couple fish fed thousands of people because he had compassion. Matthew 20:34, it says that Jesus had compassion on the men. He touched their eyes and they were healed. Here it says in Mark 1, you can't flip this fast, okay? I don't know if they're putting, oh, cool. Dang, you guys are good. Okay, in Mark 1:41, it says that he had compassion. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. I'm willing, he said. Jesus, be healed. Brother was healed. Mark 5:19. This man got healed, and Jesus said, look, you want to know what to do next? Go and tell everybody how God had compassion on you and how God healed you. And lastly, the last verse here in Mark. You know, Mark 15, is that what it is? Nope, Mark 6. Mark 6:34, the Bible says, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped out of the boat. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So what he began to teach them many things that they didn't know, things that changed their lives. You see, when Jesus had compassion, things changed. When Jesus had compassion, the Holy Spirit moved and changed the situation. You see, it's compassion that unlocks God's power. Now, I don't know if this makes a lot of sense to you guys. I don't know if it's clicking. But do you guys know what compassion is? Like, could you define compassion? Thinking about it. Okay, let me put it this way. Since obviously we don't like vocabulary here. Compassion, if you don't know what it means, you know, it means that you feel other people's hurts. That's what it means. Compassion means that you're able to feel the hurt of other people. It means you look at somebody and you say, you know what? I feel you. I feel your pain. Read my lips. No new taxes. Now that's a joke. That's a joke from 1981. Compassion says that I see you have a need. What can I do for your need? See, that's what compassion is. Compassion is when your heart touches somebody else's heart, okay? Not kissing or any of that. That's not compassion. That's something whole different. But compassion is when is compassion is when you understand when somebody else hurts. When one of your friends' parents are going through a divorce, maybe your family went through a divorce, you have compassion on them because you know what it feels like. When your homeboy has his girlfriend cheat on him, and you're not like, man, you're stupid. That's not compassion. You're like, bro, give me a hug. Nobody's looking. You give the man pat. Maybe you grab the fist, pull it in. Poof. You know what I'm saying? It's compassion right there. When your friend buys a ice cold Coke, somebody throws a football and knocks it over, and you weep. That's compassion. You feel his pain. Pastor Richard's pain. Happened the other day. Dropped my Coke. Nobody was there, though. So I grabbed another one. All right. So it's a matter of feeling people's pain. And Jesus saw their pain, and it caused the Holy Spirit to rise up in him and work through him. So when your mom is on your case, instead of you saying, Mom, I hate you, I'm going to slam the door in your face, I'm going to kick a hole in the wall. Mom, you don't get me, and it's all your fault. That's not compassion. That is not compassion. That's blaming. That's judging. That's pointing fingers. No. You say, you know what? Look, compassion says, Mom, I don't agree with you. It doesn't stop there, though. He says, but you know what? I know things have been difficult lately. I know bills have been tough. I know you probably had a hard day at work because you work 40 hours. You got to come home, bust your butt, make dinner for a punk like me. So, Mom, you got a bad attitude. But I feel you. So I'm not going to yell. You know, I'm going to go in my room. I'm going to do my homework. Even though you didn't tell me to. That's compassion. It's compassion. It's when you see somebody at school and maybe they're crying, you see that look on their face, and you stop and you ask them how they're doing, and then here's what you do. You listen to them, and you don't got to give them advice. Can somebody say amen? You just listen to them and let them get mocos all over your shoulder. Just let it out. Let it out. It's a good thing I wore a dirty shirt today. That's compassion. And when you do that, you open the door for God to change their lives through you. It's awesome because the world is not about you and how you feel. It's about how other people feel and how can you get God to change their lives. If you're yelling, it's not compassion. If you're angry, it's probably not compassion. If you're blaming somebody, it's probably not compassion. If you're finding out a reason why it's their fault, probably not compassion. If you're punching somebody, probably not compassion. Life is no longer about me. It's about other people. And I'll tell you, if you have people that you do not like, have compassion on them. Teachers, family members, ex-friends. And as long as you stay committed to that, you'll see things begin to change, at least in your heart. But see, the crazy thing is all these verses are read, is compassion wasn't just a feeling, because you can't get by on a feeling. It's not about feelings alone, but it's about what our feelings cause us to do. See, you get the Holy Spirit, you get the Spirit in your school, you change people's lives, you change the way people interact with you when you feel their pain, and it causes you to work your faith. See, belief is not enough. Belief is not enough. Belief is not enough. See, belief is not enough. See, belief is not enough. See, belief is not enough. Belief is not enough. It's not. Thank you. Because a belief that's just a belief doesn't really mean anything. You ever notice that the things people really believe are the things they do? Talk is cheap, right? Right? Can a brother get an amen? Talk is cheap. Like, I hear what you're saying, but I see what you're doing. And what you're doing is not what you're saying. See, a belief is just a belief. You can say you believe in anything. You just believe in the man in the moon. You can believe in Santa Claus. You can believe a lot of things. But what you really, 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 really believe, what you really, really, really put your faith in is what you do. So your compassion needs to be shown by the things you do. You know, the crazy thing is when Jesus had compassion, people saw it. When Jesus had compassion, people saw it. It wasn't just the fact that he was like, oh, that's really sad. Hey, let's go to the Cinnabon. wasn't like, oh, this is just the saddest. Nah, you know what? Whatever. Jesus, when he had compassion, it caused him to do something. When Jesus had compassion, what did he do? He stretched forth his hand and prayed for the man. Jesus had compassion, so what did he do? He saw the dude was hungry, so what did he got food for the dude. When Jesus saw the man was blind, he prayed and had faith for the man, and the man was healed. When Jesus saw that the people, they didn't have direction, so what did he do? He stopped, he pulled them over here, and gave them direction. Compassion, that is real compassion, always does something about the hurt that they see. Does that make sense? I remember years ago, I was me and my wife, when we were having our first child, Bella. She was pregnant with Isabella, and we made the decision to do a thing called Lamaze class. You ever heard of Lamaze class? Lamaze class is a class that you pay money for. You go to a room and they tell you how to breathe. Yeah. See, like I wasn't doing a good job enough of breathing 25 years. They had to teach me how to breathe. Whatever. I did it anyway. They do all these weird things. They show you movies you wish you could never see again. You know, they tell you to like stand on your head and do these weird things. They tell you to focus on teddy bears. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Women have been giving birth for all eternity. And now you gotta tell me how to give birth. I mean, granted, I'm the man, but whatever. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm getting my lady ice chips. Gentlemen, one day when you are going to be a dad, remember this. Ice chips. Say it with me. Ice chips. All right. That's all you need to know. Ice chips, don't hold her hand. She'll break your fist in a minute. I've heard stories. My wife was really nice. She was really gentle. Okay, so there we are. And I remember we were having a break to get, guess what? Ice chips. So there we were at the break getting ice chips, and I don't know if you remember this, son, but all of a sudden we were walking out in Loma Linda in the hallways, and over to the left, to the left, I saw this lady crumpled up on the ground. I was like, whoa, what's going on? I know it's a hospital, but that's weird. So I was like, what's happening? What are we supposed to... This is not, she should be in a bed or something. Where are the doctors at? This is the hospital. So, you know, ice chips and all that kind of stuff. And I look, and we went by the hallway again, and I saw her there. So I thought, you know, I got to do something about this. And so I went down there, and I sat down by her, and I began to kind of talk to her. And I, you know, introduced myself, and she was just kind of sad and crying. And she didn't speak English. So I was like, oh. No habla español. So what happened? You know, prayed for her and found a doctor, got it handled, told them to the nurse staff. But you know, see, true compassion has a choice to see somebody on the ground, and you either pass them by and say it's the next person's job, or you can go and you can do the best you can to meet a need. Compassion meets needs. James 2nd chapter, just go ahead and put up there and we'll wrap this thing up. We'll be done. Get that face off there. All right. In James 2nd chapter, go ahead and put it up there. It says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? See, a personal, private faith is no faith at all. Can that kind of faith save anybody? Next verse. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing. Next verse. And you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. That's whack. That food ain't no clothes. Ain't no food. And you're going to tell them, I hope you get something somewhere else. But then you'll give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Your beliefs mean nothing to him. Next verse. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. Oh, there you go. Action. It's dead and it's useless. Next verse. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. I'll do my part, they do their part. But how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? See, faith is something that people need to see. If you have faith, people will see it. I'll show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith. You believe there's one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe. And they tremble in terror. See, it's not enough to have belief, to have deeds. It's not just to have faith, but faith that can be seen. See, it's crazy. We'll wrap up with this: is when the Bible paints a picture of the way things are supposed to look now in these days. They say it's supposed to look like a body. They say Jesus is the head, but the church is the body. What can a head do on its own? Nothing. It can talk, it can hear, nothing. But it needs the body to do stuff. You see, the head's job is to give directions, right? That's what your brain does. Your brain goes, walk. And then it goes, all right. And you're walking. And the brain goes, there's a cliff, stop. And your feet go, all right. And they, that's the job. The head gives the directions, and the fingers and the hands and the body, they do their piece. And Jesus is the head. The Bible says the church is the body. See, the head has given us directions. And it's not the head's job to do the walking. It's not the head's job to do the hugging, to the loving, to the feeding, to the praying. No, no, it's not God's job to do that, because he gave us the direction and the power and the strength to be the body to go out and do that work. That's your job to love people, not just God's job. It's your love. It's your job to tell people that Jesus loves, that they've been forgiven, that they can be free. They don't have to do stupid things like go out and hurt themselves. They don't have to do dumb things like go out and just get high all day. They don't have to do dumb things like hate their parents. No, no, they can be free from those things. But it's the body's job to take the head where it needs to go to give the healing that needs to be given to the people out there who are in trouble. And you are the feet. That's right. Some of you are the big toe. And some of you guys are the pinky. And some of you guys are you. Some of you guys are the left knee. And some of you guys are the whole foot. Some of you guys out there don't even realize, but God's waiting for you to listen to his direction so you can get what he wants to the people around you. What's your role? What's your piece? What's your place? Because without you, God is not doing what he desires to do. It takes heart. It takes action. You got that? You're good. And you begin to change some jacked up situations around you. So what can you do this week? What can you do this week to be the hands and feet of Jesus? What are you going to do? Who you need to call? You just got a report from my sister-in-law Beth. She works here. One of the kids that goes to this youth ministry, Maya, she's been struggling with cancer, and we prayed for her at camp and praying for her since. And all these things are happening. And my wife and I, one of the things we did, and this is not a pat on our back, but she's having a tough time. So if you guys can pray, be praying for her. One of the things we did weeks ago is, we just got on Amazon.com, hit up that Prime, 2-day free shipping, and my wife, she sent her like a little gift, a Wonder Woman cup, and it was really kind of neat. And she was in the hospital today. Beth went to go visit her, and she saw that in her hospital room and stuff like that, and in her bedroom and everything, and she had begun to draw. She painted a picture of Wonder Woman, and she and something as simple as that. My wife had compassion on this teenage girl going through cancer, and she did something about it. And she said, Maya told Beth today that, and Pastor Eleanor, they told her today in the hospital, she said, you know what? Maya is determined to fight. She feels like a Wonder Woman. She said she painted this picture. She said today, she's going to get better, because now what she wants to do is she wants to get over this sickness. She wants to do good in school, and one day she wants to be a doctor so she can help bring healing to people around her. Now, that's not just a pat on my wife's back, but it's encouragement like that. Something simple, a silly little cup that can push people to do great things. Today, tomorrow, what are you going to do to be the hands and feet of Jesus? What do you need to do for a teacher to make them know that Jesus is real? What do you need to do for a friend, a family member that's having a difficult time? Who do you know that's hurting right now that you need to stop blaming them and start figuring out how you can love them? And that's what you need to do. That's your homework for this week. Get the spirit in your school. If you guys got anything from God, let's give him a praise.